All right, so 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Let's read in our passage of Scripture. Paul is obviously believes he's nearing the end of his days, and this is the last epistle that we have from him. And we're going to start reading here in verse number 6. Just one more time, if you're able, let's stand, and then we'll have a word of prayer after we read the Scriptures, just in respect to the Word of God this morning. Because what we're reading here is a portion of the greatest book that's ever been penned. And in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And what we're reading here, we ought to give reverence to. And so it says here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 6, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." I want to speak this morning as the Lord has led there on verse number 10, that Demas, you went the wrong direction. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I love you, and I just pray you bless the reading and the preaching of your word. I pray that, Lord, the Holy Spirit would be in complete charge now. I pray that, Lord, I would be a vessel that, Lord, used of God. I pray that the words would be from you. Lord, every thought, Lord, I just yield myself. I pray that you'd put a hedge about this place. I pray that you'd speak to all of our hearts this morning, and God, help us, Lord, to give heed to the Word of God. Lord, now we love you very much, and in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's be seated. Demas, it's a sad story. Serving with the Apostle Paul. If you want to glance back, I'll give heed real quick. In Colossians chapter number 4 and in verse number 14, Paul talks about Demas. It says in Colossians 4:14, "Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you." Demas was right there with Paul, serving on the mission field. In the book of Philemon, be a few pages to the right there of 2 Timothy, but in Philemon and in verse number 24, it says, "Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers." Paul refers to Demas as a fellow laborer with him. That's a pretty high compliment that the Apostle Paul would refer to you as his fellow laborer. But in our text in 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 10, as Paul is nearing the end of his life, he mentions Demas again this third time. But he says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica." What's sad is that this Demas was like so many. When I read in the New Testament about Demas, I think many times in the Old Testament about Lot. And the fact that Demas was around some of the best of God's servants. Demas would have heard some of the best teaching and instruction. Demas would have observed some of the best practical living that we could ever ask for as a child of God. He was taught the best doctrine, but still being around the best, hearing the best, observing the best, being taught the best, he chose what was wrong. He chose the wrong path. You know, I believe the Lord's coming back pretty soon. Believe that. You read the Scriptures, and I'm not saying it's today, though I would be glad. Yes. Anna might not. Yeah, all right, but all of us, all right, the rest of us would, all right? Yeah, all right. But praise the Lord, all right? But we're looking forward to that day. Right. We're excited about that day. Could be today. Could be. All I know is this, that we're much closer than we've ever been before. And when you read in the Bible what you can expect in the last days, we're living in much of that today, if not everything described. Again, God's table, timetable is His. I'm just to be ready. And you're to be ready. Unfortunately, while it's a wonderful and exciting thing to know that the Lord could come back any day, we also know that in these last days, perilous times will come. We know that in these last days, which Paul said they were entering the last days, and if Paul was entering the last days, how much closer are we now? Perilous times will come. We're going to see forms of godliness, but denying the power thereof. We're going to see people turning away from faith and doctrine and sound doctrine. We're going to see the holiness of God put away for living in the works of the flesh. And we're going to see more and more of that. You say, well, that's a dark way of looking at things. Well, I'm the optimist. I just always am. But I'm not going to ignore the truth either. The optimistic part of me is, but the Lord's coming back any day, and none of that means we can't live a godly, holy life. Matter of fact, a light will shine brightest in a dark environment. And it's an opportunity to be a great witness for the Lord. And I don't care what everybody else is doing. I don't care what every other church is doing. I don't care what every other pastor is doing. I don't care what anyone else out there is doing. We have an obligation to follow the Word of God to the very best of our ability. There's going to be Demases. But I don't want any of us to be a Demas. What happened to Demas? Do you think that Demas planned from the get-go to walk away from Paul? I don't think so. I do not in any way think so. I believe that as Paul was serving the Lord and Demas was there, I believe Demas was 100% behind him. I mean, Paul was a pretty spiritual man. I would, you know, obviously he was led by the Spirit of God. There are many examples when people were saying the right things, but Paul turned around and corrected them because his spirit didn't agree with that spirit. I don't think Demas was a fake. I think Paul would have seen things. I believe he saw Demas as a fellow laborer. He saw him as a faithful man. I don't think Demas thought he was planning to turn his back on Paul one day. I don't think he ever sat around and thought, I'm going to leave the faith one day and follow my own flesh. I don't think it was ever his goal to take a stand against the Holy Spirit of God. I hardly think any of those things. Which is a frightening thing and a sobering thing. Because I hope none of us in this auditorium are ever planning on turning our back on God. I hope none of us are planning on one day taking a stand and saying, ha, watch me now. I hope that's not anyone's goal, but we better take heed. If you don't think it could happen to you, you're fooling yourself. It could happen to me. It could happen to you. I believe Demas was all in. Do you think that Demas, you know, had a desire to serve God? I do. I believe that's why he was there. He left his home. Wherever home was, he left to live not an easy life. But he loved God. Do you believe that Demas was trained in sound doctrine? I believe he was. He traveled with the Apostle Paul. He heard him preach. Heard him teach. He was around some of the best men, God's choicest servants. Positive he was around all the right stuff. But what happened? And to me, this is a sobering thing because we better take heed because this could happen to us. The very same thing can happen in our life. And I sat and I thought this week about, as the Lord led me to share this morning here at the church, what happened to him? I wrote down some possibilities of some thought processes, and I don't know. We'll go to the Scripture, and I'll tell you what I know the Scripture says happened. But I'll share some things that, you know, just praying and meditating on the Scripture that I see, because Demas was a person. He was a man. We all struggle with the flesh. We all can go down the same path if we're not careful. And I wrote down a couple things that I thought, well, one possibility is this, that the preaching and the teaching just became a sound. He said, with the exception of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is by far the greatest preacher, teacher that's ever walked upon this earth. But the Apostle Paul gave the truth. A lot of our doctrine and our his epistles, Demas heard that. Paul would get up and teach and preach in the synagogue. He would go out into the cities and he would stand and he would preach. And if we're not careful, preaching can just become noise. Sunday school can just become, as was just said, routine. If we're not careful, we can sit through a service and almost the preaching time can become like the Charlie Brown teaching. Y'all know what I'm talking about? The little wah-wah, wah-wah, you know, right? And we know what's going on. And every once in a while, someone will amen and will think, I wonder what was just said. If we're honest, it happens in our life. Because at a Baptist temple, we need to be very, very careful. To my knowledge, everything that is anyone that stands behind this pulpit, they're preaching truth. And if something's even said that I think maybe might not I agree with, I will let you know. And I do. What's being taught and preached is from the Word of God. Don't get used to it. Don't start just getting through services. I mean this as a challenge. I think, because at a Baptist temple, I believe every member has a heart for God. I believe that we want to serve the Lord. You're here. You're so faithful. This crowd on Sunday morning will pretty much be back on Sunday night. That's not the same in a whole lot of places. I'm thankful for the faithfulness of God's people. A heart to serve the Lord. So many people in this auditorium did so many things this morning. From setting up to cleaning up to teaching Sunday school to studying and praying and visiting. So much went in already to today. But you can, And I'm not taking away from any of that, because I studied, I prayed, I set up, I've cleaned, I've done everything with you. But so did Demas. He was right there with Paul. He heard it. He listened to these lessons, these sermons, these preaching. He probably read, as Paul was writing, what was being written in these letters. He saw miracles take place. But if we're not careful, the preaching and the teaching can all just become sounds. I wrote down a second thought of what possibly could have happened is that the persecutions and the trials became scary. The persecutions and the trials became scary. When Paul wrote 2 Timothy, he was in a prison cell, and it wasn't like any prison cell that you've seen, unless you've been over there. I've had the privilege of actually looking down into this prison cell where they held him when he wrote this. It wasn't like bars and, you know, a cell as you would. It was a hole dug in the ground. They threw him down in this hole. There was no windows, there was no lights. It was filth, it was rat infested, it was disgusting. There's feces everywhere. It was a terrible, terrible situation. Paul had been stoned. Paul had been beaten. Paul had been persecuted, cast out, rejected, called names. And perhaps Demas said, I don't know if this is for me. And it would have been hard. The Bible says, all they that live godly shall suffer persecution. Yes. I mean, I get it. I don't think we're going to face what Paul faced, nor do I think we're going to face what Demas saw. Right. Which is probably a little bit more frightening, the fact that the number of Demases there are. Serving God is always right. Amen. Serving God is always worth it. Amen. Serving God may not always be easy. Peter talked about it in his epistle. Then he didn't say if trials come. He said when. He didn't say if persecutions, when persecutions come. You say, well, I've never faced anything in my life like that. Then there's probably something wrong.
That's right.
Because if you're going to take a stand for God, the world isn't going to like it.
That's right.
Perhaps preaching and teaching, it just becomes sound. Perhaps the persecution and the trials became scary. Perhaps the pennies and the tough times became shackles. See, what do you mean by that? We'll get to it in just a second. But apparently, Demas liked stuff. Perhaps the money wasn't rolling in like he wanted. I warned in chapel on Friday that I preached on Friday, the last chapel with the singers were there, and I preached there in the book of Esther. Don't you love the story of Esther? Just the sarcastic haha person in me, which I have one of those in me, right? But the fact that Haman hated Mordecai. And remember, Mordecai saved the king's life. And then the king realized one night that he hadn't done anything for him. So he brings in Haman and goes, Haman, if I wanted to really recognize one of my men that I think should be honored, what should I do? And Haman's like, it's me, right? He's like, I'd put your crown on his head and your robe on him, put him on one of your choicest steeds, and have one of your best leaders and princes take him around the town and make everybody show some praise to him. He goes, that's a great idea. Go get Mordecai and you do that, right? And Haman hated that. And then he went home that night, and his family and his wife said, build some gallows, hang him, go to the king in the morning, see Mordecai get hung, put to death. And he built these gallows 50 cubits high, about the equivalent to a 6-story building. A little excessive. I don't know exactly why he built it that big, other than he wanted everybody to see and make a mockery out of it. But then Haman was found guilty, and the king put him to death on his own gallows. And that's what I taught to the kids on Friday morning, that some of them, if they're not careful, and listen to me, some of us, if we're not careful, can want things so bad that we're building our own gallows, and one day it will destroy us. And one of the things that I warn those kids about is chasing a dollar. Chasing money. when money cost you your walk with God, when money cost you from sitting in God's house when you should be in God's house, when money cost you from being able to give as God told you to give, when money keeps you from things, you have a God in your life, and that gallows will destroy you one day. It will destroy you. Perhaps Demas didn't like not knowing where the next meal was coming from. Perhaps the pennies and the tough times became shackles to him. Perhaps the practice and the truth became too severe. See, what do you mean the practices and the truths became too severe? I mean this. Do you think that Paul required those men that were serving with him to live a holy life? No doubt, right? I mean, I don't believe that Paul was teaching and his fellow laborers were over there gambling. I don't believe his fellow laborers were over there cursing. I don't think his fellow laborers were over there drinking. I don't think his fellow laborers were over there carousing at night. And perhaps, you say, why? How would you even come up with these things? My mind just meditated on what I've seen. That perhaps this holiness stuff is holding me back, man. I'm not able to enjoy life. I want to go and have a good time. And Demas perhaps in his mind was thinking, Paul, I can't do anything around him. Because where he ran, everything the world had to offer was there. So something was drawing him away, and perhaps he was thinking, I can't believe I can't do this. I can't believe I'm not. Listen, the holiness that we ought to live with, we shouldn't live with because I go to Kazadale. Our holiness and the things we live with should not be because of who my family is or who my pastor is. We ought to do it because we love God. And I just want to honor Him. And when my life's all about that, these things are not unreasonable. These are what I want to do. Because I just want to bring glory to my Savior who gave everything for me. Somewhere, Demas got away from that. Because Demas walked away from everything. And we say, boy, that Demas, he's terrible. He is no different than us. He was faithfully serving God, listening to truth, listening to the Word of God, had a heart to do what's right. I believe that's who I'm speaking to this morning. I look in a mirror and say the same thing. I want to serve God. I want to do right. I want to be found faithful. But so did Demas, and things didn't end well there. I better take heed. When I start sitting, and if ever a preacher gets up and opens this book and begins to preach sound doctrine, and I'm not getting anything from it, when I haven't had any desire in my heart to bow a knee in months, when nothing has changed in my life, when I can't stand up this week and share something God's shown me this week through my personal Bible study, it's all becoming just sound to me. And you better take heed. When I keep looking at, you know, the trials and the persecutions as being something I don't want to do, I'd never, you know, sell my house. I'd never, you know, surrender to go to a mission field or surrender to a ministry because I like my comforts. There's something wrong. When I'm thinking to myself and I'm counting every penny and I'm going to miss church so I can get a little bit more overtime, I'm going to take every side job I can so that I never have time to come to the house of God because it's all about the dollar, you better be careful. Whenever I see all this standards and I just point a finger and say they're all legalistic, listen, there's nothing legalistic being taught at this church. Legalism is having to do things in order to earn God's love and appreciation and salvation. God will love you no matter what you do, where you go. Yes. And I don't earn any special love from God from doing anything. It's because He loves me and I love Him that I want to do these things. It changes not the love of God. I'm not trying to earn my salvation, and nor, there's a new definition of legalism that's being all shared out there, you know, that you're being forced to do something. No one's forced. We had no coat check walking in. But I am going to preach that the more you love God, the more you'll want to do these things. But when it all becomes a burden, you better be careful. Because I think Demas maybe faced some of those things. But I'm not going to ignore the possibility. I'm not going to ignore the possibility that he had a profession and a testimony that wasn't sincere. I don't think that's the case, but at the same time, I've known some in my life, some very dear friends that said they were saved, but they later professed with their words and their actions, I had nothing to do with him. And it could be that you want everybody to think that you're going to heaven, but in your heart you know you're not. Right. And there's only so much of this religious life that you can take if you're not saved. Eventually, you just can't stand it anymore. Eventually, you just don't want it anymore. And a lost person will never feel comfortable being under the Word of God. And they'll end up hating it. Now, those are assumptions. But what I do know is this. Look at 2 Timothy 4, verse number 10. I'll give you these three just straight from the Word of God. What I do know is this. Number one. He forsook Paul's way. It says there in verse number 10, for Demas hath forsaken. And I find it very interesting here that he didn't say he forsook God. He didn't say he forsook what's right. He said he forsook me. He forsook Paul's way. Now, I don't think Paul's being prideful in any way. I don't think the Holy Spirit would allow him to write sin. But I'm just talking to you as a pastor right now. When you pour your life and you invest in people, and you show them and you know you've showed them what's right, it's hard not to take that personally. And I don't think he was offended. But he said, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, Demas hath forsaken me. He had forsaken the direction, the life, the teaching, the doctrine, the practice. He forsook that. One time a person came and had a meeting with me. And they said, we're leaving. They said, our family's going to leave the church. And this is years ago. And I said, what's happening? And they said, it's not you. It's not you. Yeah, don't take it personal. It's not you. It's just the direction the church is going. And I said, I'm the one that leads the direction the church is going. And that person said, then I guess it is you. And they left. I didn't take it personally, but I can say with Paul, and I hope you see the spirit here, they forsook me. Not taking that bitterness, no hard, but everything that is being taught, everything that's being poured out, the direction, the life, the manners, the practice. And I can tell you this, that Paul's way was right. Amen. Paul's way was biblical. And Demas said, I don't want it. And so I see from the scripture he forsook Paul's way. I also see from the scripture, secondly, that he fell in love with the present world. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He fell in love with the world. This present world, he said. 1 John chapter number 2 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The Bible says that friendship with the world is enmity with Christ. Paul fell in love with this world. What is the world? All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. He fell in love with all these things. He allowed his love and his heart, which at one time, I believe, was directed to the Word of God, well, at one time was directed to the service of God, that at one time he had left everything that he had to follow this God, but at some point he allowed his heart to be pulled away from what was right, and he fell in love with the world. Despite sitting under sound preaching, despite sitting under a great example, despite being shown what was right, taught what was right, seeing it every day of his life, he allowed his heart to fall in love with the world. Be warned, Kazadno Baptist Temple. That can happen to me and that can happen to you. Sitting in this church, under the Word of God, under the preaching, seeing all these things, watching and serving in ministries, but we can just keep an eye. And all of a sudden, our heart, we lose that love that should be here. And it begins to fall in love with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. See, what got into Demas' heart, I don't know exactly, but I know that he fell in love with this world. Maybe there were some pleasures that he just watched as he traveled through some of these cities and thought, and he allowed the thought to stay in his head. Wonder what that'd be like. Perhaps he saw some nice houses in his traveling and thought, I don't even have a house. Perhaps his clothes weren't the newest style and the top brands, and he thought, I deserve some of that. I don't know exactly what happened, but I know he fell in love with this present world. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. And when we love the Lord, listen to me, it's because we are failing to love God. And we are focusing on the temporary. If you want a text for that, let's read that. Real quick, 1 John. I only got one more point, really quick. 1 John, turn there real quick. 1 John chapter number 2. Remember those three statements I just made? We're going to read it. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. This love for the world is because we are failing to love God and we are focusing on the temporary. Love, First John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Right. I don't believe that's teaching that you're not saved. I think what that's teaching is this, that you've given your heart and your love to the world, and you can't love both. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world. And the world passeth away. It's temporary. The lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Friends, you can't love both. You're going to hate one, you're going to love the other. Demas fell in love with the present world. Back in our text, and we're done, he forsook Paul's way. He fell in love with the present world. And again, in verse number 10, he followed prestige and wealth. For Demas hath, now again, every word in the Bible, the Holy Spirit has it there for a purpose. Right. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And then he tells us where he went, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Next to what would become as Constantinople, there was no larger city than Thessalonica. There was no wealthier city than Thessalonica. It was at that time the cultural center of that side of the Roman Empire. It was a place where people made a name for themselves. It was a place that any pleasure you would want to find, it was in the crosshairs of all the trade paths, the trade routes. If you wanted to find a pleasure for your flesh, you could find it at Thessalonica. If you wanted to make money, you could make it at Thessalonica. If you wanted to become a who's who, you could find that in Thessalonica. Now, I've got a few historical things I can tell you, which aren't scripture, so I can't tell you that I know these things are, word of God. But I can tell you, in Florence, in the Medici Library, a wealthy Italian family, but in their library, in their books, it says that this Demas became a pagan priest in the city of Thessalonica. I can tell you that archaeologists found in the records of Thessalonica that there was one who became governor, and his name was Demetrius during that same time frame. You say, is that the same guy? I don't know. But I can tell you this, that's what he was after. And perhaps that's what he got. But he lost everything. He chased the world. He chased the wealth. He chased the pleasure. But he failed. And I don't know, I kind of believe that he was sincere. I kind of believe that he went to heaven. But if that's true, he did not hear God say, well done. You say, well, maybe he turned his life around. Perhaps. But you know, it seems like with these kind of stories, the Holy Spirit always points out when people get right. The same situation was one named John Mark who went and departed from Paul. But the Holy Spirit was very careful to point out that John Mark got right with God. And John Mark became, even in our same text here, someone who was profitable for the ministry. He had made the same wrong decision. And praise God, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. And we can make wrong decisions and get right with God. I don't think Demas did. I believe he chased all the world had, and he lost all that God wanted to give him. But the worst case scenario and a great possibility is this: Demas is in hell today. Having set under the truth and hearing the truth, if he had never put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and turned from his sin, that would explain why eventually he couldn't stand it anymore. And if that's the truth, here 2,000 years later, he's still in hell. I find no pleasure in saying that. It's just the fact. And if you choose to reject the Lord Jesus Christ, God doesn't want you to go to hell. God has done everything so you can go to heaven. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God has sent his Son because he loved you so much to pay the penalty for your sin. But you must, in faith, believe that Christ died for your sins. You must, in repentance, turn from that sin and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you done that? If not, today's a glorious day to be saved. Put your faith in the Lord. So what happened to Demas? I don't know. But But I know this story is sad, but so familiar and so sobering, because it could happen to you and me too. Let's be careful.